Listen, let's pray together here and ask for the Lord's blessing on our time, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for the body of Christ, this local expression of it here, the church at Darby Creek. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would visit us as we get into the Scriptures, as we have more time of singing and worshiping you through singing at the end. And we just ask and pray that you would work in our hearts and in our minds, and that our lives would become more in alignment with your will for us as we hear this word today. And Lord, we also just ask for your people here, Lord, anyone that needs your healing touch. Lord, we just pray for your Spirit to be working in their lives, and whether it's a physical, emotional, or spiritual healing, Lord, we just pray that you would bless them with that, that heaven would come to earth, and you would do that, Lord, out of your mercy and your grace. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, that you'd help us to minister to one another today, Lord, even when we dismiss for the day, Lord, that help us to see that we're on mission here, even with each other. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. So we are we're approaching the end here of this series we've been doing. It's the rise and fall of King Solomon, and so we're in chapter 10 today. Chapter 11 is where we'll kind of cap it off next week, all right? And it's been an interesting ride as we go through here chapter by chapter. Today we'll become acquainted with someone who had heard about King Solomon from afar. They heard that he had this great wisdom and heard that of all the things that God was doing by granting him this wisdom, and she had to come and see it for herself. Have you ever had those one of those situations where somebody tells you about something and like, I just got to go see for myself? Maybe it's some geographical location. Maybe it's, the pictures of the Grand Canyon, I'm sure, don't even do it justice, right? I want to go there personally myself to see it myself sometime. But that's kind of the way the Queen of Sheba was. She was like, I've heard about him, and I just got to go see if what is said about him is really true, And so I'd like to go ahead and read the passage here this morning. And if you would, let's stand up in honor of the Word of God, if you're able to stand. And I'll just read this passage aloud. Just listen to these words here in 1 Kings chapter 10, 1 through 13. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue. That's like a posse, okay? So I wondered what that was. I had no idea what that word was. It just means his assistant, her assistants, basically, okay? Okay, now where was I? With a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. And she said to the king, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report that I heard. Happy are your men, happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. He has made you king, that you may execute justice and righteousness. And then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Moreover, the fleet of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought from Ophir a very great amount of almug wood and precious stones. And the king made of the almug wood supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also lyres and harps for the singers. No such almug wood has come or been seen to this day. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked besides what was given her by the bounty of the King Solomon. So she turned and went back to her own land with her servants. This is God's word. Please have a seat. So, you know, when we read these Old Testament passages, we have to try to connect them to where we live, right? And say, well, that's a great account of history, but what does that have to do with me, right? And which is something we should always ask. And the thing to remember, and we've mentioned it at least once before in this series, is that Solomon reveals a pattern of salvation that God later provided for us in Jesus Christ. And that's called he was a type of Christ. In other words, kind of a pointer, right? And so there are certain aspects to Solomon's life that are pointing us to Jesus Christ. Now, not all of them, as we'll see in chapter 11, okay? But certain aspects of that point us to Jesus and God's plan of salvation. And so what we want to look at today is basically look at the queen's response to Solomon and see how that points to our response of Jesus Christ, right? In Matthew, I believe it's in chapter 22, where he mentions that, you know, Jesus says of Solomon, he says, one who is greater than Solomon is now among you. So Jesus himself even identified that Solomon was somehow a pointer to himself, right? And so we're going to look at some four different responses that we can see that the Queen of Sheba had to Solomon, and then see maybe what our response should be to Jesus Christ. Okay, so this is how we're kind of run parallel, her responses to Solomon and our response to Jesus Christ. Okay, so the first thing we want to look at here is just that she was seeking the truth, right? She was seeking the truth about, you know, who is this Solomon, right? And so when you even look in that first verse, right, of chapter 10, we see, it says, now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. So she was like, you know, I'm going to go find out for myself, you know, who this person is. And so she was seeking the truth. She wasn't just going to take someone's word for granted. She wanted to find out for herself, right? Okay, and so, you know, this is how we should be about Jesus, right? When someone hears about Jesus from a friend and see how Jesus has made such a difference in their life, it usually, you know, they have questions. They're interested, and especially if the Spirit of God is working in that person's life, they become what some people say is, I'm going in seeker mode. I want to find out more about Jesus, right? And I remember that was the case for me. Foundations had been laid in my life with about God and the Bible and even Jesus. But once the Spirit of God was working on my heart, I was in seek mode. I wanted to find out more about Jesus. I wanted to know, is this true, what they're saying about him, right? And this is important. We need to all have this at some point in our life. You know, if we're going to come to know Jesus, we're going to have to seek out, right, who he really is. And if you have questions about Jesus and Christianity, I would encourage you. You need to seek out to have those questions answered. All right. Now, some questions we don't know the answers to, just to be honest. But there are many questions we do have the answers to. Common questions about Jesus and God and the Bible. And so, don't leave those questions unanswered. Okay. You need to seek out what the truth is. Okay. And trust me, the truth can be known. All right. And so I would just say, you know, if you would consider yourself in seeking mode, that you want to find out, you know, do you want to really know who Jesus really is? Just like the Queen of Sheba was wanting to know who Solomon really is. Well, there are a couple things I would suggest. One is go to the Gospels, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, basically, you know, biographies of Jesus, of his life and what he did and what he taught, right? And so if you want to know about Jesus, you want to learn about him, find out the truth about him, read the Gospels, right? In fact, if you have your Bibles handy there, or if you have a device, take a look at this verse. I don't have it on the screen, but let's take a look at the Gospel of John. So, you know, the New Testament starts out with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. And they go to the very end of John, the Gospel of John. So, not quite the end, I guess, John 20. So, John 20. In verse 30 and 31, so John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, and listen to what the gospel writer John, the apostle John, writes. He says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book." You know, a lot of other things happen. As you know, yeah, the Bible might be a big book, but, you know, to write everything that Jesus ever did and said, it's not all in here, right? But it says in verse 31, "But these," you know, the things that John is saying that he's recorded, "these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in his name." Okay? And so I just implore you, encourage you, you know, you got questions about Jesus, you want to know who he is, go to the source right here. Go to the Bible, and as you have questions about what you're reading, you know what? Jot them down. Highlight them in your Bible and ask a Christian friend, someone who's more familiar with the Bible, and seek out those answers, okay? This is something that I think is important that, you know, you process with other people, okay? And even as a longtime believer myself, you know, I want to study the Bible with other people. Because it's a good check for me, because I could go off on a tangent somewhere and go down the wrong road if I'm not careful, but God has provided other people to help us with that, okay? To help us hold us accountable and make sure that we're going down the right road. But read the Gospels, and here John is telling us, he says, "I've written these things so that you would know who Jesus really is, and that you wouldn't just know it, but that you would believe it, and when you believe it, truly in your heart, you will experience the life that Jesus has." Okay, so everything that everybody always talks about, you know, how Jesus has changed my life, how he helps me day by day, I have this relationship, all that wording, that those things you hear, if you want to experience that, this life that Jesus promises, you have to not only just know the information, I mean, the information is important, but we have to believe it and put our faith in it. And that's where the transformation starts, okay? So so that's the place to start, I'd say, the Gospels, okay? And I'd say, you know, we never outgrow our need for the Bible. We never outgrow our need for the Gospels, because I just think about myself, you know, when I'm having a hard time with, when I'm having people problems, which I'm sure you never do, you know, look at how Jesus treated people. Read the Gospels, okay? And like, you know, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, if you put your faith in Jesus, then you say, "Okay, Lord, I want to be more like Jesus, how he's treating these people. I want to be that way. I want to be that way." So he not only convicts us, which, you know, he shows us kind of where things aren't in alignment, but he helps us through the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, I have another suggestion for you. There's a movie that you could watch on Netflix. How many people have a Netflix subscription, okay? Quite a few people. How many people have Amazon Prime or something? Okay. All right. So between all that, you at least have a friend that has a Netflix subscription. So on Netflix, you can watch The Case for Christ for free. Well, not for free. It's part of your subscription. For Amazon now, you just have to rent the movie. So whatever it is, $5, or I don't know what it is now. It is a great movie about a man named Lee Strobel, and he was an investigative journalist. And his wife became a Christian. He set out to say, you know, "I'm going to show that this is just really not the case. They're bamboozling you with this information about Jesus," okay? Well, in the process, he comes to faith in Christ. But what I like about it is he's real honest through the movie about his struggles, and I feel like they give some really good answers to common questions through in the course of a story, of Lee's story. And I think it's just a great introduction to common questions about Jesus. Okay, and so if you like to watch a movie, check that out, Case for Christ. It's a book also. He wrote a book. Not everybody loves reading, so that's why I'm suggesting that as well. But definitely, you need to get in the Bible, right, and start reading just little by little, okay? I'll be honest, some days I'll be listening to the Bible, right? I'll use the YouVersion Bible, and I'll listen to the Bible, especially when it's like a long passage. I want to listen to it. But so, Queen of Sheba was seeking the truth about Solomon, right? We need to seek the truth and seek for answers about who Jesus is, okay? Don't let those answers go unanswered. The questions go unanswered, okay? And if a friend brought you here, or you're close with someone here at the church, and you got questions, just ask, okay? Ask the questions. I tell my students all the time at Columbus State, there are no stupid questions, okay? I suppose the stupid question would be the ones that's not asked, really. Right? And so ask questions, no matter how silly you think it is, okay? Because I guarantee you, we've all had the same questions probably, okay? All right, so our response to Jesus. Second thing here is we need to honor Jesus' wisdom. We should respond to the wisdom of Jesus. You know, just as the Queen of Sheba was hearing what he had to say, I want to go back to that passage there in 1 Kings, and take a look at verses 6 through 8, just to remind us what it said. And so it says in verse 6 of 1 Kings 10, "And she said to the king, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom, but I did not believe the reports until I came, and my own eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me." Right? Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report I heard. And so she is just like, wow, this is amazing what you're telling me. And you know, and it started off, didn't it say in the first verse that she asked him tough questions, right? And by the way, you know, where she was traveling from, okay, maybe Arabia, there's some speculation, but most people say she probably traveled a couple of weeks to get to where Jerusalem is, okay? And so that's the seeker. That distance is not going to stop me from finding out the truth. All right. And so, but once she got there and heard it, she's like, wow, this is just incredible. The wisdom that you have and that you're displaying to us. And, you know, I'm going to butcher the verse here. So I'm going to try to go to it. I think it's Colossians chapter 2. All right. So go there. All right. So Colossians chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 1. I'm going to go 1 through 3, Colossians 2, verses 1 through 3. Again, we're looking at these parallels, right, between the Queen of Sheba seeking out and her honoring Solomon, and looking at our response to the greater Solomon, Jesus Christ, right? So Colossians 2, verses 1 through 3, and this is Paul talking to the Colossians. He says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ." Now look what it says about Jesus Christ here in verse 3. "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You know, what was Solomon's claim to fame? His wisdom, right? Because he asked God for wisdom and God gave it to him, and that's what he was known for, right? And so Jesus Christ, okay, Solomon couldn't hold a candle to Jesus. Jesus knows everything. We learn, right, in John chapter 1 that he created everything, right? And we also learn in the scriptures that he's the one that actually holds it together, Okay? And so the one who created everything, who holds it together, certainly has the answers for everything. In him are found all the treasures of wisdom. Okay? So you want to know true wisdom? You get to know Jesus Christ. Okay? You get to know him and come into relationship with him and grow in that relationship with him, right? And this is what we need to do. We need to honor Jesus' wisdom. Well, how could we do that? How can we go about honoring Jesus' wisdom? Well, the first thing is just to read, think about, and act on what Jesus actually said, right? If I want to glean from the wisdom of Jesus, I need to be, again, a person of the book. I need to get in there, read what he actually said, okay? But I didn't just leave it there. I said, think about it, okay? The Bible calls that meditation, right? And I don't mean like sitting in the lotus position, which I can't even attempt to do at this point, it's what you're doing is it's a focused thinking about the scripture. How does it apply to me? What is this word? Why did the writer choose this word? Right. And so on. And so we want to think about it, and then we want to act on what Jesus said. So we want to just stay here in our minds. We want to believe it and put it into action. Now, sometimes the things that Jesus said were things to just simply believe, right? Sometimes the things that Jesus said were things to actually do, right? Or not do, whatever the case might be. I mean, you think about it. Different parts of the Gospels, right? We're talking about getting in the Gospels to learn more about Jesus. Is you have these parables, right? A story with a point that he told. Those have different things that he's focusing in on. A main idea, you know. That's what a parable is, a story with one usually main idea, okay? And so we study those out. We want to learn what the wisdom is that Jesus is trying to give us, okay, and impart to us. You think about also the longest sermon of Jesus ever recorded, right, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. What a great place to camp out. You want to know what kingdom living is about? You study that, okay? You want some place to camp out for a year, just get into verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount, okay? And there are some, I'm sure, great books that have been written to kind of supplement that reading on just those three chapters of the Bible, okay? Again, we're talking about honoring the wisdom of Jesus that he imparted, right? And so I'm just trying to give you some of the highlights. The Olivet Discourse, where he focuses in on the future. Right, you want to learn about the future, what's coming, okay? The Olivet Discourse, that's where you want to read, right? You don't know where that's at? I can't give you a chapter and verse, but just read the Gospels, right? You'll find it, all right? So listen, we need to honor Jesus' word by reading, thinking about, acting on it, but also to trust what he is doing in your life right now, okay? If I want to honor Jesus' wisdom, and that he is God and he's working in my life, through everything that's going on, that takes some trust, okay? And if I want to honor his wisdom, that I know that it's not like, Jesus and God the Father they slipped up on something here, something got past them, they must have missed that. No, everything, they know everything that's going on, and even the tough stuff in our lives, God is using. Jesus is using, okay? I want to take a look here in 2 Corinthians, a couple of verses for you here. 2 Corinthians, probably a lot of times here, I'm going to be coming back to 2 Corinthians because it's just coming out of my ears. God's really using it in my life, in my devotions. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I will start in verse 8. So 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. For we, Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. I've never been there. I mean, like in that place where I despaired of my life. Okay, he was really going through it. Okay, he was really going through this difficult time. And then he says, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, verse 9. But, okay, and here it comes. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And this is the level of trust that Paul had. He's like, even if I have the sentence of death, I trust God because I know he's going to raise me up. Okay? And so what that tells me is that whatever's going on in my life, no matter how difficult it may be, I could take a look at this kind of purpose for the difficulties that I'm going through. Verse 9, that was to make sure that I rely on God. In other words, when I'm going through a hard time, lean into God. Lean into the Lord, right? Lean into that relationship, okay? Because one or two things are going to happen, right? My relationship with the Lord's going to get closer. I'm going to become bitter, right? Usually. And so our prayer in that time ought to be, Lord, help draw me close. Or if you know someone that's going through a very difficult, pray that the Lord draw them close, right? But we can see that, you know, God, if there's one thing I get from chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, is that God never wastes a hurt. Okay, he never wastes a hurt. Other verses in chapter 1 tell us that the comfort that we receive from the Lord as we go through those difficulties, he will use the comfort, we will use the comfort that we receive from the Lord to comfort other people. Okay? So it's like we're a conduit of comfort. Okay? As we go through the difficult things and the Lord comforts us, we are then equipped in a unique way to comfort those who go through similar things. Okay? And so we can honor the wisdom of the Lord Jesus by trusting him. By trusting him, taking at his word, right? One other promise let me leave you with here on this, and is maybe familiar to you in the book of Proverbs. In chapter 3. This is one of those verses that you should either commit to memory or you should just, you know, it's really okay to mark up your Bible, by the way, okay? I give you permission as if you needed it. But some people are like wiggy about that, okay? They're words on a page. It's what they mean. That's the important thing, okay? You should mark this down. You should highlight it, okay? Verses 5 and 6. This is something that I'm telling you, I probably pulled this from my memory banks many, many times. Anytime I'm going through a difficult time or something I do not understand, why would this happen? Well, how could this be good? Okay? So Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. You know, and you could just, you know, and when you're not feeling it, which is sometimes the case, right? When you're not feeling like, you know, you're having trouble trusting, turn it into a prayer, right? You just turn the scripture into a prayer and say, Lord, help me to, you know, help me to trust you with this situation, with all of my heart. You know, I'm not there. And you just be honest with the Lord. Right, and I don't know if you've done this before, where you just turn scripture into prayer, you just pray it back to God, and this is what I would encourage you to do with these things: is to say, Lord, me, I'm not there, but I want to be there. I want to trust you with all my heart, right? And I don't understand it. I totally get the do not lean on my understanding because I don't get it. Okay, but I also understand, Lord, that Your ways are higher than my ways, as it says in another place in Scripture, right? That I don't know the full picture. I don't see how the tapestry unfolds. I don't know how this connects with anything else you're doing. But I do know you're good. Okay? I do know you're good. I know you have my best in mind always, right? And that Romans 8:28 promised, right? God works all things together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, right? And this is where we live so many times, right? We live in a fallen world, and because we live in a fallen world, we get hurt and we hurt, all right? But even in the process of that, the Lord is with us, and we can trust him. We can trust him, right? So that's just, I just wanted to point you in that direction, that I feel like the Lord has used that verse so many times in my own life. Now, so we have here, you know, honoring the wisdom of Jesus. But what else was the Queen of Sheba, how was she responding to King Solomon? Well, she thanked God for him. She thanked God for him. If you look back in verse 9 there of 1 Kings 10, in verse 9 it says, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. He has made you king that you may execute justice and righteousness." She's a Gentile, okay? She's not one of God's people. She is giving thanks to God and seeing God's hand in this wisdom, in this man, Solomon, right? And so she's giving thanks to God. And so, you know, now this may just sound, I call it motto, master of the obvious, okay? Motto, all right? So meaning, well, we ought to give thanks to God for giving us Jesus. Well, you may be like, well, Pastor, of course we do. And he died for our sins. Of course we should get, well, but how many times does that just slip off of our radar? Right? Our own salvation, just the gospel. You know, we never outgrow the gospel. We need to be replenished and washed over our minds what Jesus has done for us, right? What he has accomplished for us, right? And if you read, say, for example, the first few chapters of the book of Ephesians, you will see blessing after blessing, thing after thing that Jesus has accomplished for all believers, all right? One of them is that he's given us his Holy Spirit, it says in verse 13. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And you can just thank God for that, because that's a benefit of the gospel, right? And so I'm just saying that, you know, I feel like I forget, you know, the longer you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, we have to continually battle to remember, and that's probably one of the good things about communion, right, is to be reminded of what Jesus has done for us, right? And so, I mean, we do that here a couple times a month. But just, you know, being thankful for what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Regular reminders, right? Praising God for what he's done. Just giving thanks for it, you know? You know, thank God for the people he brought in your life who brought you the gospel or whatever, you know? One time, you know what I did one time? I encourage you to do this. Think about a person that has played a part, a significant part in your spiritual walk, and write them a note, and say, I thank God for you, that he used you in this way in my life as a part of bringing me to faith. I tell you what, man, that'll bless their socks right off. Okay, and it's reminding you of what God has done in your life. I did that one time. I wrote it to several people, and I was told by someone that knows one of the individuals, and I wasn't looking for any attaboys, okay, that person needed that word at that time. You know, they were kind of at a low point, and they needed a, you know, because sometimes, and I'm sure we all go over, like, is anything I'm doing having any effect, right? You know, for anything, I don't care what it is. Could be your parenting, could be, you know, your marriage, could be you know, your work. I don't know. You're like, am I doing anything that's having any kind of a kingdom impact, right? And so I was reminded this week as I was reading a book that, you know what? We are just so short-sighted. We're so short-sighted. Like, you know, this blip on the radar that we're on here for these many years, it's just that. It's a small part of what God is doing, and we need to have patience. We need to have patience. Farmers know what patience is. Okay? They know what patience is. They know what reliance is. They're relying on God for things to happen at the right time. And you know, we're many of, I don't know that any of us actually here are farmers, okay? But in that agrarian society, right, there was a lot of learning about patience and trust, right? But anyway, I'm just saying that, you know, we got to be patient, realizing that God's working. So, but how can we just kind of constantly be thanking the Lord for what? Thanking God for what he's done through Jesus in our lives and our salvation in particular is to just kind of find ways to go back there. There was a book written by Paul Tripp, New Morning Mercies, I think it is. It's a devotional, okay? The point of every one of those is devotional. Those devotionals in that book is to point us back to the gospel. I commend it to you. I mean, it's just pointing us to the Word of God. But New Morning Mercies by Paul Tripp is just like, if you need regular reminders, which I think we all do at times, of the gospel and its impact on our lives and just reminders, okay? So, second way or third way to respond to Jesus there, thank God for giving us Jesus. And then fourthly is just, what did this Queen of Sheba do? I find this fascinating. What does she do? She gives him, it's the equivalent of 75 pounds of gold. I mean, the guy's got gold coming out of his ears. If you read the, we didn't read all the chapter 10. You just go ahead on your own later, read it. He's got this gold, and he's got that much gold. I mean, he's got everything, okay? It's just the prosperity there in terms of material stuff is just incredible, all right? And so I'm thinking, why is she giving him money? He doesn't need it, right? But she does, okay? But she's recognizing it's to honor him, okay? To honor him, she gives him this, as it says there in verse 10, right, of 1 Kings 10. She gave the king 120 talents, which I told you is about 75 pounds of gold, and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. You know, and so it's just back in honor, right, of that, of the king's position, right? And so how can we respond to Jesus here in kind? Well, to recognize everything we have comes from him and is for him, right? I could have just simply said worship, you know, but I think this kind of gets at it, is that recognizing that everything that we have comes from him and is for him. Okay? If you have your Bibles there, let's go. All right, let's go to 1 Chronicles. Okay? So it's right after 1 and 2 Kings, if that helps you, if you're looking through a physical Bible. So 1 Chronicles chapter 29. All right, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. So this is David is in the middle of praying, all right? 1 Chronicles 29, 14, David's praying. He says, "But who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? for all things come from you. He's talking to God. Remember, he's praying. All things come from you, and of your own have we given. Right? In other words, he's saying, God, in these offerings we give you, we're just giving back to you what you gave to us. So he's really saying, hey, everything I have, God, including these offerings that I give you, God, this was just, I just give it back to you. And they're just blessing God by offering back to God what he already gave to them. Right? All right, go to Deuteronomy. So go backwards here, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So towards the beginning of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're just kind of trying to get dial in on that everything I have comes from God. Okay, it's because of his blessing in my life. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 18. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Right? So he's simply saying, he's given you the ability to work. He's giving you the ability to produce wealth. That's what he means. Right? It's because of God, right? One last verse here, connecting the dots here. Deuteronomy, stay in Deuteronomy. Turn a little more to the right to chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23. Well, I guess we're back up to verse 22. Deuteronomy 14, 22 and 23 says, "You shall tithe all the yield of your seed that comes from the field year by year, and before the Lord your God in the place that he will choose to make his name dwell, you shall eat the tithe of your grain and of your wine and of your oil and of the firstborn of your herd and flock." Why? Well, here's why. "That you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." There are other translations that say, well, that you might... It might show that you're putting God first in everything, right? And so how can we show and recognize that that the Lord is coming first in our life, that we recognize that everything we have come from him? Well, giving is one way, right? Tithing is one way, right? Just our giving, when we come to God, we're giving back to him what he has already given to us. Well, does God need our money? Not really, okay? Okay, well, just like Solomon, he didn't need the 75 pounds of gold, all right? But when we give what we're doing, we're actually showing that God has first place in our heart and not money, not materialism, right? In fact, I won't look it up, but write this down. Matthew 6:21 basically says, you know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also, right? So if I have trouble with giving back to God, which is what I would call tithing, giving back to God because that's what he gave me in the first place, then I've got a heart problem, right? And I need to work on that so that I can give to God with a cheerful heart. I'm just simply saying here, you know, one of the ways that we recognize, right, that the Lord Jesus has first place in our life is by our giving. Now, people don't like to talk about money, but, you know, Jesus said it, okay? You don't like it, talk to him, okay? He's the one that said it because it's a gauge of where my heart is, okay? It really is. It really is. And so that's critical. Just, you know, how do we do this? You know, recognizing that he's first place. Giving is one area. It's just one area. But really, might I just kind of, let's back up, let's zoom out from that and say, what about just an overall attitude? Overall attitude. One more verse here. 2 Corinthians 5:15. 2 Corinthians 5:15. So in the New Testament. Again, another one of the, again, you can mark up any Bible verse you want, but I love these verses. They keep coming back up in my life. 2 Corinthians 5:15. I guess I'll go back to 14. Get to the beginning of the sentence. says, for the love of Christ controls us. Other translations say compels us. Okay? The love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all have died. And then verse 15, it says, and he died for all so that they could do whatever they want. Is that what it says? No! So they can have their best life now. No! It's not what the Bible says. What does it say? Well, it says that those who live, in other words, who are living in Christ now, right? He died for them so they could live, and so that they who live, right, might live no longer for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. In other words, Jesus died for me so that I could live, right? Live a life now, right? Filled with the Spirit, but then live eternally with him, right? And so what I'm going to do is, so he's saying, well, what's the natural, what should be my response? That I just decide I'm going to live for him. I'm going to live for him. So he, whatever he says goes. That's what it means to live for him, right? In other words, I'm not in the driver's seat anymore. I'm moving over and, you know, Jesus, take the wheel, right? I'm not singing it, all right? All right, but you know, that's the idea. He is in the driver. When you come to faith in Christ, what you're doing is saying, he is Lord, I am not. In addition to, you know, repenting of your sin, you know, and so on, turning to him for forgiveness, but we're saying, he is Lord, I am not. And so that's what it means to live for him. What it means to live for him is as you go through and you read the things he's written, read what the Bible says, you say, oh, well, that's for me because I'm a follower of Jesus, right? That's how we do relationships. Oh, okay, I'm living for him, so that's how I'm going to do it, by the grace of God, right? And we don't always get it right, okay? So and I just want to ask you, have you ever really kind of put yourself out there like that? Meaning, have you really given yourself over to the Lord to say, you know, it's your way I want to live. I want to, like that verse 15 said, I want to live for you, Jesus. And you know, it's kind of like a blank check because you have no idea what that's going to require. Nobody knows. Okay? And so I just want to end with a prayer today. Okay? And this maybe a recommitment for some of us. Maybe it's a first-time thing for others. That we might recognize that he died for us, that we wouldn't live for ourselves, but we'd live for him. Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is a big thing for us. We look at that verse and say, wow. You know, to say, Lord, I want to live for you. I know you died for me, and you did so that I wouldn't live for myself, but for you, and I don't even know what that means, maybe in my own situation, but Lord, I just say I want to live for you where I'm at. Lord, help me to trust you as I learn what that means, that I'd step out in faith, and that I'd follow you no matter what it costs, because you paid the ultimate price that I might have a relationship with you. Father, help us. We know this kind of a commitment can't be done on our own power. Lord, we need the power of your Spirit, who we receive when we believe in Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us even as we walk out that door today, as we face certain things. We wanna live in a way that is honoring to you, that shows that we love you. But when we don't do it, when we fall short, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, God, for that. Lord, help us to respond to Jesus in these differing ways, to honor his wisdom by learning what it is too, and to put our faith in it, what Jesus says. And anyone in this room, Lord, that's seeking, that hasn't put their faith yet in Jesus, Lord, I pray that they'd seek you with all their heart, and I know you will not disappoint. grant them a sight, spiritual sight, so they can see Jesus for who he really is. Pray that they have their questions answered and not be afraid to ask them. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.